Welcome back to People of Product. We're in the middle of a short series on the basics of product work. We found after interviewing lots of people over the 100 plus episodes of this podcast that actually the things that most people were running into was just doing the basics. So right now we're right in the middle of looking at what does it mean to do the basics of product work really, really well. And sometimes it just means doing it even more basic. Today we're going on a journey, Dan. Yeah, we're going to take a little trip, but first we need a map.
Ooh.
A map of where we're going and how we might get there. And in the product world, we call that a roadmap. But this simple tool can be a hot button conversation because roadmap. Not everybody loves them. So let's go ahead and talk about that. Dan, I have to admit, I'm a little jealous of you.
Don't be.
Well, you and I have talked about this before. You were a great traveler.
Oh.
Partly because you planned for your travels.
Oh, yes.
But I know that maybe not last year, mid-COVID, as many people did, you took an epic road trip.
It was right in the thick of it.
Right? Yeah. Tell me about that epic road trip with your family.
And some of you may have seen these. The Cruise America RVs.
Cruise America RVs.
It's got the big old picture of, I think it's Devil's Tower from Arizona, which I think is, it's not close to the Grand Canyon, but it's just right there. What's it, wrapped? Oh, wrap, like vehicle wraps.
Oh, yeah, it's the big.
The wrap, it's the.
On the side of the, and there's a bunch of them.
Right, and I think there's maybe a friendly dog on the door that you'd go open. But we rented, I think it was I want to say 20 foot, maybe 24 foot RV.
Yeah, yeah.
We set out, I want to say it was like mid-June. Yeah, we were gone for a full, I think 14 days. It was great. Yeah, we went north up through Nebraska, up to South Dakota, and then went west through, is it the Black Hills or the Badlands? Maybe they're both the same, but I can't remember. Through Mount Rushmore and then into Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons, and it was great. It took a lot of planning because there's so many places along. Well, one, you're driving an RV, so you actually have to plan your campsites.
Right, because not everywhere can take an RV.
Right, it's not just like you can ride in and be like, what hotel might we stay in, or are we going to rent an Airbnb and stay there the whole time?
Right.
It's like, no, we're going to be in different places each time. And so, a lot of planning, but it was great.
So I have to assume, kind of on theme here, you had to map out your route, correct?
Very much so, yeah. And we actually went with my sister and her family. And Lisa, my wife, and my sister, Jess, are phenomenal trip planners.
They're even better than you?
Yeah. I mean, I have a role, but it's given to me.
I'm hopeless. We're not trip planners like that. And you have a whole group of them. There's a
spreadsheets.
So you have to map out your route.
Mm.
But because if you didn't map out your route, you could rent that RV and you could set out on the open road in any direction.
Mm-hmm.
There is a landmass called North America
that
you are constrained to.
Right.
You can't drive into the ocean.
Right.
But maybe eventually you would end up hitting Yellowstone.
Right.
If you just kept going around on the roads for a long period of time. But if you didn't map it out,
You
wouldn't know where you're going.
Right, because, even entrances to the park, there's multiple entrances. And so it's like you just can't it's not like crossing the street going into a park.
Yeah.
You are planning if we go through this entrance, it's this highway. If we go through this entrance, it's this highway. And to get to that entrance with an RV, it's a little bit treacherous, depending on, the time of the year. And so there's just different things. And the park is so big that depending on where you want to be at per day, depends on where you're going to stay. So
you've never done this trip before, right?
Never.
So it'd be different even if you had done the trip before.
Right.
Because you could say, I know the route. I'm familiar with this. Like when I drive home or I do my commute each day, I know the route.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that I don't still plug it into a mapping system to make sure that maybe I won't hit traffic or deal with something like that. But I know the route.
Right.
It's kind of the same, and to kind of dovetail into what we've been talking about, it's kind of the same when it comes to planning a project.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're working on a product or a piece of software that you've never built before, or that you haven't built this exact solution before. If you're doing something disruptive, if you're doing something that maybe this team has never worked before together, there is a certain level of getting people aligned on mm-hmm. where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a map, how do you know if where you're going and how you're going to get there?
Right. You know, there's a time and a place to where it's like, okay, we can probably react to this situation in the moment.
Right.
But when you are, especially depending on the scope of time,
yeah,
the length of time,
yeah,
and all the different possibilities that could happen when you get to certain milestones, I think we're seeing a theme here, mm-hmm. is that a roadmap is super useful because, and I even, we talk about this, like when I do any sort of public speaking, I typically like to write out what I'm going to say.
Yeah, you do.
And it's a plan. It's kind of like, here's what I, the gist of what I would love to say. But because I've planned in the moment, if I go off script
mm-hmm.
or if there are unknowns that come up, maybe a question or whatnot, I can easily find my way back.
Yeah. So going back to your road trip with your family, I assume there was times that you said, well, let's going to just mute the old Slack there. So going back to your road trip with your family, I assume there's times when you went off course a little bit
mm-hmm.
or said, hey, yeah. you know, let's go check out that restaurant
right.
or let's go see that. What is it called? Scenic.
Oh,
scenic outlook, scenic
outlooks. Yeah. Scenic outlooks.
Yeah. Yeah. Pull offs.
Yeah. yeah. I think they're the same
thing. The thing that no one ever does. Yeah. And then there's like, you see a couple of people, you're like, maybe we right. should do that next time. And then you just keep going.
Right.
But you give yourself the permission to do those types of things because you still know our destination is Yellowstone.
Right.
We're going, that's where we're going. We're right. going to hit these spots along the way. Yep. There are milestones. These are goals along the way.
Yep. And even in that sort of analogy or just from that trip is different phases of the journey allowed for more kind of, oh, we got to pivot or we got to change here.
Yeah.
So for example, the trip out there is pretty standard. We're driving on a highway, had mm-hmm. a few like kind of like major stops. Once you get in the park, you have an idea of what you want to do, but there are so many different options depending on weather.
Bison.
depending on, no, seriously, bison. Like, we can't go that way today, so we're going to turn around and go a different direction. Different things come up to where it's like, well, we were planning on going to this, you know, waterfall today, but for whatever reason, it's raining, not very warm. So mm-hmm. we're going to go over, do this, and then maybe do that again another day. And so when we got to kind of the quote-unquote end destination, there were more, because there were more unknowns.
Yeah.
Like, for the most part, when you're driving out there, it's like, okay, I know the next 2 days of weather, but I don't really know the weather like fully 7 days from now when we're in the park.
Yeah, good point.
And so the further out, it's like there's more unknowns, and so there were more times to pivot. And I think, just from my experience, is that product teams run into the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, and we've talked about this a little bit in, mm-hmm. in the previous episodes of really trying to get the team aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And in a tool like a roadmap, and we'll kind of get into what we think we mean when we say roadmap, but a tool like a roadmap is a really great tool to answer the questions of like, why are we doing this? Why mm-hmm. now? What might be this approach to this challenge? Do we have clarity? And then on previous episodes, you've kind of talked about like, how does a team do good work together?
Yeah, because it's not just factors of, you know, maybe of a time nature or factors of, you know, technical nature
only,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's factors of people.
Right.
You know, on a road trip, there's factors of, did someone get sick?
Mm-hmm.
Did someone get injured? There's factors of like, someone's just not feeling it today.
Right.
Other, you know, from a team management aspect, we talked through, you know, those five dysfunctions of a team around trust, conflict, commitment, accountability, and results. Those are really key things to get people aligned. And if one of those things might be out of whack, can have an effect of on a roadmap.
Yeah. So with all that in play, we really wanted to kind of bring ourselves back to like, what is a roadmap? Because there's lots of tools out there for road mapping. There are lots of white papers and there's like, it feels like everybody's kind of going, what's the thing I need to make to kind of paint the vision for where we're mm-hmm. going? We got a chance to talk with Ben Sabri of Civic Plus, who actually was a previous client years ago with us. And he had, I think, a really great, succinct definition of what roadmap can be.
Hmm. Yeah, so a product roadmap is kind of the North Star for where you want to take your product into the future with the information that you have at the time. So it's a living document. If you have a three-year product roadmap and you're delivering what you thought you were going to deliver in 3 years, 3 years later, you're probably doing your job wrong because the market's probably changed since then.
So I liked his language of a product roadmap is your North Star mm-hmm. with the information you currently have at the time.
Right.
Which is really important because yep. then he goes on to say that it is a living document.
Yeah. I love that language. I think that was my favorite part of, because if you think about, okay, the human body to a certain extent, there are constants. Like I know, like talking to you, you know, you have a heart, you have a brain, you know, there's these constants.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I know. But as you age, as I age, as we all age, 5 years from now, I can say, oh, the constant is you still have a heart, but with the information of, that I have at hand, your heart may be operating differently,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's higher cholesterol or
what are you saying? You're just trying to poke it.
I'm dealing with it right now. I just love that because it's like, it is a living document to where there are constants, but there are definitely changes.
Yeah.
And I think you have to recognize both. And again, going back to product roadmaps, they're the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's kind of paint this picture as to where it comes into play though. So let's say that you're building a product and you know that the potential of the business impact, you've done some research, you've paid for data from a Gallup poll or from mm-hmm. Gartner or something, and it says you need to be focused on this type of product, something that's going to upskill your workforce or something that's going to help you to recruit better or mm-hmm. operate better or, you know, whatever. So you have a technology that you're convinced is going to change your organization. The impact is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Impact is going to be huge, but.
Well, I mean, you know where you're going. And again, that's the first step.
Yeah, that's the first step
of the challenge is to, and it is extremely important. You have to be aligned on where you're going. But the question is like, what will it take to get there?
Yeah.
What needs to be true of your team? What needs to be true of what you do in order to get you from point A to point B? And that depends on a couple different things. One, it depends on the complexity and scale of the initiative itself.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, if you're, you know, consolidating systems, if you're starting from scratch, you know, you're just, and you're really starting from an idea on the back of a napkin.
Yep.
Those are two different types of complexity.
Maybe you're just implementing Salesforce or you're right. putting in something that already is an existing licensed solution.
Right.
But you need a little custom piece or,
right.
but if you're starting from scratch, it's a different scope.
100%.
Right.
And so, there's that aspect, but the other aspect too is also how many stages within the complexity. So research, design, planning out data architecture, prototyping, all the way through execution. There's going to be different types of phases, stages, again, depending on that complexity.
Yeah, and that's really difficult to visualize, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have a lot of experience of doing this over and over and over again, it becomes a little bit easier,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you know, there's an expectation of what it means to set up an environment, to right. architect your data, to prototype out UI designs. And let's be honest, most UI structures are pretty consistent now. So we know what a login looks like. We know what input fields look like. We know what input labels look like. We know right. what graphs look like, et cetera. Pulling those things all into something that's cohesive and easy to use is a whole different thing to do. But one of the biggest challenges with that is that depending on that complexity that you mentioned, even if it's an easy thing like implementing Salesforce, right, that's not actually that easy. Salesforce is a beast. Or let's just say like signing up for Asana and getting the team to start using it. We've implemented things like that. Like we just switched our whole knowledge base over to Notion. And it took us a year, one, to get the content in, to get people onboarded, to train them how to do it. And even for something like that, we didn't really want to commit to the timeline of what it would take. And now even go to the point of building your own product,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a startup, you're an innovative entrepreneur, C-suite leader, at a certain point, you have to go back to the five dysfunctional teams. You have to commit to a potential timeline and say, yeah, we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to give ourselves a constraint. And in that constraint, this is how we believe we're going to get to that destination.
Right.
And I want to visualize it for you. What's the statement? Is it Eisenhower that says
mm-hmm.
you're better at quotes?
Yeah. He said, in preparing for battle, I have found that plans are useless, but yes. planning is indispensable.
Yeah. And I hate that because I'm not a good planner,
which really what that means is like, it's an educated guess,
right?
When you are outlining a roadmap and you're putting all the prep work in, make no mistake, that is necessary. It's good. It gets people aligned. It helps you plan contingencies. But once you get into it, as he said, he finds it useless. From a roadmap standpoint, really what that means is that we want to get on the same page, and we can only learn by from an agile standpoint, right, and what it's taught us, which it really goes along with that statement well, is that you can really only learn by creating something and then gathering feedback to validate that direction.
Yeah.
And again, even with agile, you know, there is some aspect of planning, but at some point you got to just jump in, you start working, you validate your work and see if you're on the right direction or if you need to make modifications. And so a roadmap, whether it's created by a product manager, product owner, development team, whomever, will be just enough to start shaping the commitments of the team.
Yeah, it's funny because I've seen some articles on over the years online about roadmaps. And basically the thing it comes down to is like, if you're an agile purist, you never have a roadmap because you only have whatever's at the back of the top of the back of the, right, the backlog, right? And the reality is then there's no commitment to what has to be done by when and how and where are we going and where's the North Star. And so your incremental changes are just right there in front of you. And you may be only 2 or 3 degrees off, but you don't realize the implications of that 2 to 3 degrees off, like, could be huge.
Right.
Now, they would say in agile, well, no, you create the roadmap as you go because you're right, figuring out the right way forward.
Right.
But again, if you don't, like your road trip to Yellowstone, if you don't know, our destination is still Yellowstone. Unless, of course, there was like the other trip that you went on where there was like fires and you had to change plans altogether. That happens.
Yes. Oh,
so
yeah.
Like I would call
talk about being agile.
Right. But I would call that a pivot in your roadmap.
Oh yeah.
Right. And so being able to say, no, we still believe we're going here. Even as we go along the route, we make small adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
There's a detour here. There's a place we want to stop there. And that's okay as long as we still know we're drawing ourselves towards that North Star.
Yeah.
So I think that when we're thinking about a roadmap, really what we're talking about is creating a timeline, something that you can understand the first draft is probably not right. You know, it's not perfect.
Right.
We know where we're going, but we have some assumptions that these are things that we're going to need to do to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Every project has its unknown unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
But you doesn't mean you shouldn't state this is what we believe needs to happen.
Right.
So for example, for us, we often have what we call our defaults, which is to say kind of our the way that we approach most projects has the stages of some level of planning early on, context, has prototyping. And then when we get into development, there's early releases. Then we start thinking about feature priorities. Then we really get into, okay, now we've got users that are going to start using it. So there's user onboarding and engagement, and the roadmap goes on.
Right.
Now, that formula is pretty consistent across most of our products. And yep, you would fill underneath that what the features are that need to be built when. But like I said, just like your Yellowstone trip, plans change.
Right.
It's okay.
Absolutely. I mean, even to the, you know, the really, I guess, myopic example of when you're on a sticking to a vacation or a travel, you know, going somewhere. If it's Friday night, you may have planned, well, we're going to go have Italian, but for whatever reason you switched and you went to Mexican or, you know, Asian. It's like at the end of the day, what was your objective to eat?
I love some food.
My objective is like, we need to eat. We're all hungry.
Getting a little hungry.
Our plan was Italian.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, didn't work out. But at the end of the day, what's going to happen? Our objective was complete. We just had to pivot a little bit for whatever reason.
Yeah. We're doing McDonald's again. It's a road trip. Okay.
You know, right? Everyone likes McDonald's.
Okay. So I don't know about you, but I am extremely visual. I think there's something to be said where you know, a backlog is a really powerful thing to see a list of the jobs to be done.
Right.
Really breaking things down. And we'll get into that in future episodes. But what is powerful about seeing the stages of work to be done, whether again, that is broken out by feature, broken out by, the stages of product development. And you can even do hybrids where it's like, this is the master product plan. And then there's kind of sub milestone plans.
Right.
Those are all really helpful because you can visualize it.
Right.
And I think that's a big piece for me is to be able to say, okay, cool. Where are we at on this journey? Are we ahead of schedule? Are we behind schedule? Do we need to change the schedule? Are we still heading in the right direction?
Yeah.
And that's a visual tool, which I think is really helpful. So doesn't become super overwhelming.
Yeah, it's a communication tool. And think how many times where really what you're trying to do is make sure that if I'm communicating with you, when we walk away, we want to make sure that I was understood and I felt understood and you understood what I was trying to say.
And we were saying the same thing.
We had common language. And a lot of times, I mean, it's no different than working with someone on a software development project, particularly, you know, if you're working with a client. And because to you, if you could say a whole bunch of different technical jargon and another technical person could say, oh, I know exactly where you're at and what's going on.
Yeah.
That's not the case with everyone. And so a visual tool is just a way to communicate. So, for example, you know, even within our own sphere right now, from a business or company standpoint, what does it look like to have a dashboard or some level of visualization or communication tool that communicates different aspects of our company's performance, metrics, what data is meaningful to us, on all different spheres, internally, externally, client, our teams, and how do we communicate to that so that we're all on the same page?
Yeah, and I think it's that becomes really powerful too. If you're inside the organization, a lot of the times we're working, occasionally we'll be working with someone truly in the C-suite. C-suite of the C-suite, especially if it's like a big company. But more often than not, we're working with someone who is, you know, a VP of a particular division or a director of this particular R&D effort. And what we'll talk about is with that person, she might want to go and say, I really need to make sure that my bosses understand what we're doing and how long it'll take and what we're going to need to get there. Mm-hmm. And a roadmap is one of the tools. I think there are others, but one of the tools that is really helpful to just say high level, we think it's going to be about this long. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of unknown unknowns still. Mm-hmm. So understand this is a living document. It might change, but here's where we're going. And it's a great communication tool.
And I think as product people, that is important to take into consideration, whether you're on the service side or product side, is this is where people get nervous.
Yeah.
Because people will ask for like, how much longer?
Yeah. How much more money?
What all has been done? Yeah. Or are we close to being on schedule? Will we have this? All of these legitimate questions, but because the nature of things, you don't have a full answer. So being able to say we're holding things loosely, or we will have something like this. It may not look exactly like it, but it will accomplish this purpose. I may not know exactly what the trees look like in Yellowstone, but they will have, it will have trees and we will go hiking.
Yeah. There'll be bison.
I have no idea how long the trail is,
but
we will get there. We will have fun. This is what we can plan on. And so I just think it's really important to state that communication of the roadmap, how you communicate it, the conversations you have with key stakeholders, especially those that maybe are not familiar or technical.
Yeah.
Really having that conversation, using that visualization as a communication tool is key.
I think about you going on your road trip. I'm sure you knew that you had to pace things at a certain rate of saying, okay, we know we're going to stop at these RV parks by these dates. Now, you might have said, well, I think we could push for the next RV spot because we're making good time. Yeah. Or we probably should stop a little early. We're running behind. Let's go to this first one because it'll be dark by the time we get to
the next one. Or that one's full, or that one didn't get the best reviews. So what about the one, you know, 2 miles down the road?
But in all of that, you are still pacing yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think there is something going back up to commitment and accountability with the roadmap. You still can have, maybe there are, in some of the roadmaps that we've created, there are key points, key milestones where you say, these milestones are mission critical. Mm-hmm. We have to get to this point in the roadmap. If we're not there by then, we're probably going to be off track for getting anywhere by the dates that we've set out ahead of us.
Right.
Now, what you know, exactly which park we stay at, which spot we park in, you know, et cetera, that can change. Mm-hmm. Meaning the feature set itself might look a little different than what we thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But we will have something in the hands of the users by this date.
Right.
We will be ready to test this by that date. And I think it's good to commit to those key milestones, even if the roadmap overall does shift and priorities do get updated and the route gets, you know, shifted a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you do have to have that piece that says, you know, hey, I'm communicating with my stakeholders, i.e. the people writing the checks or approving the budgets, that we will have things for you to see and the progress for you to see it.
Right.
But I think that one of the biggest things is to say, you know, if our roadmap efforts are on track and if they need to be updated and why, and then right. just be honest about it.
Right. And you don't have to do this, you know, by scratch. You know, you don't have to do this on a sheet of paper. You right. can.
Yeah.
And that's helpful.
I've actually done that before. Sticky notes on a marker board. Yeah. Right. When we used right. to be in the offices together.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Well, speaking of that, what are some of the tools, George, that we've found? I mean, we found them before, but man, have they been so much more integral to what we do in yeah. the remote world we live in.
Yeah, I mean, this is another thing. There's a SaaS tool for everything. A lot of the tools that you're probably already using for product management, like Jira or mm-hmm. Asana or whatever, they have some level of Gantting tools, which yeah. is a Gantt chart is what you'll usually visualize this at. It's like bars of time and levels of focus. Those exist in those tools. We have found that using a tool like Miro, which is more of an online whiteboarding tool, yeah. I actually went around and asked all of our product managers, what are you using for road mapping these days? And they almost all said, we share a Miro board that we come back to each sprint, each backlog grooming with our client and review. Yeah. They can add to it, we can add to it, and it becomes this live thing because it's flexible. There are other apps like Product Plan, or they used to be called what, Road Monk or something like that. Mm-hmm. All fine tools. They're very opinionated tools. There is a little bit of a difference, and we could talk about this later, between an opinionated and an unopinionated tool. An opinionated tool says you should do road mapping this way. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there is a perfect way to road map. Mm-hmm. I think if it comes back to the basics of it, needs to be a tool that visualizes where you're going mm-hmm. and how you're going to get there,
yeah.
and that is shareable, and that you understand is a living document. That's where we found Miro, which is a lot more flexible because it can be used for anything, was probably our favorite tool. But you could do it in PowerPoint. You could do it in Microsoft Paint.
Right.
I wouldn't, but you could. The biggest piece is making sure that you're using a tool that makes it public, that you can share it, and you can check back in on it often. Because if you make that asset and you never go back to it, then it really was useless.
Right, you know, and hence the living document.
Yeah.
You got to go back and make updates.
Yeah. Okay, so we've gotten the team aligned. Thinking back through our episodes now, we've gotten the team aligned. You've really understood the core problem that you're trying to solve. You've got a visual guide now to say we know where we're going and how we're going to get there. But sometimes teams think this roadmap is enough to work from. Like, we kind of know the stages. That's good enough. Mm. But oftentimes I think they need to break down the work. So maybe really more thinking about the products, the features, or the specific outcomes in each of those stages. And this is why we need to be working together to better understand how that work would get done.
So on the next episode, it's going to be epic.
Oh, epic.
And I just feel like we're going to share a lot of stories that are going to change the future of people's businesses and companies.
Oh, yes. Epics and stories. Can't wait.
This episode of People of Product was produced by Larissa McCarty with support from Julie Branson and Steph Inger. Our hosts are George Brooks and Daniel Linhart. People of Product is brought to you by Crema, a digital product agency. We believe that creativity, technology, and culture can help individuals and organizations thrive. Learn more at crema.us.